Word of prayer. Lord, we just thank you for your word, and we thank you for your goodness to us. And Lord, we do pray for this thing, Lord, that these guys come over here to bless us, and you used them. And Lord, this is a special thing to Larry, and I pray that you would help us to find it if it's around here, or help it to show up wherever it may be. We just ask your blessings to our study tonight, in Jesus' name. Well, I'll tell you what, next week is Bible drill. So we'll be meeting in here doing our church Bible drill. And, of course, then that next Sunday afternoon, I remember last year when we went, they got to where they were doing two, one for Montgomery County and one for Carroll County. Well, what happened last year, we were the only ones that did it. So we went back and had two Bible drills, two best side of Bible drills. So this year, we're going back to Carrollton for that. So, but we'll tell you about that. Those of you that don't know, we don't have church that night, and we all go and then go get pizza, and it's a kind of a fun thing for the kids and stuff. So, plan on doing that. And but anyway, we'll go ahead and. We were supposed to be having talent night tonight, but we decided since we were going to do the Bible drill, we would just do the Bible drill this month. So, anyway, we've been studying this revelation, these bowls of judgment, and we've seen that the earth has become a miserable place to live. It is a place where the oceans have totally become polluted and bloody. There is no fresh water. There is no salt water left. And it is a place of immense heat and radiation. And people are getting sores like hemorrhoids all over their bodies that are incurable. It's not a good place to live. And by this time, probably 90% of the population's gone. It is such a horrid, horrid thing. This fifth bowl, or judgment, is poured out, as we're going to look at tonight. It is the bowl of darkness, darkness, and pain. It's in Revelation 16. Should have had my Bible open. I'm sorry. Revelation 16, verse 10, "And the fifth angel poured out his bowl upon the throne of the beast, and his kingdom became darkened, and they gnawed and their tongues on their tongues because of pain. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and their sores, and they did not repent of their deeds." Now, we will notice where this bowl is poured out on, the place of Satan, the throne of the beast. And this judgment here is primarily aimed at Satan and his activities. Understand this, Satan is always at the center of darkness. Satan always represents darkness, just as God always represents light. Just the opposite, darkness and light. So this bowl of darkness is being poured out on the darkness. And it's a plague. And if we remember the plagues of the Old Testament of Egypt, it greatly resembles this plague in Egypt. If you get back to Exodus 10:21, you see very much similarity here. In Exodus 10:21, it says, "And Jehovah said to Moses, stretch out your hand toward the heavens, that there may be darkness over the land of Egypt, so that one may even feel the darkness. And Moses stretched forth his hand toward heaven, and there was a thick darkness in all the land of Egypt for 3 days. They did not see one another, nor did any rise from his place for 3 days. But all the sons of Israel had light in their dwellings. And Pharaoh called to Moses and said, "You go serve Jehovah. Only let your flocks and your herds be left. Let your little ones also go with you." And Moses said, "You must give us also sacrifices and burnt offerings, so that we may sacrifice to Jehovah our God. Our cattle shall also go with us. There shall not be a hoof left behind, for we must take from them to serve Jehovah our God. And we do not know with what we must serve Jehovah until we come there." But Jehovah hardened Pharaoh's heart, and he would not let them go. And Pharaoh said to him, "Go away from me. Take heed to yourself. See my face no more. For in the day that you see my face, you shall die." And Moses said, "You have spoken well. I will never see your face again." Now, just as that plague in the land of Egypt reflected the darkness of Pharaoh and his heart, the plague, the bowl of darkness, the plague of darkness in Revelation, it reflects the darkness in the soul of Satan. And not only in his soul, but in the souls of all of the people remaining. It's not just Satan that is blaspheming God. It's all the people who are still remaining on the earth. And it reflects the world's dark heart and soul. Even today, if you are looking to find darkness in the world, you look to non-Christians. You look for people who are not saved. And they don't necessarily think they're dark. They're being deceived, but in reality they are, because Satan is dark. And then we see what in verses 10 and 11, again, he poured his bowls out on the throne of the beast, the kingdom became dark, and they gnawed their tongues because of pain. Even though their tongues... These tongues represent the sins of darkness. Their tongues are on fire. And what this is symbolic of is the way people speak, the way people proclaim their darkness, proclaim their sin. I think a lot of it could have to do with mass media, because if you look at how darkness nowadays is being propagated and spread to all areas of the world, you don't have to go any further than the internet and television and places of that nature. You see, and obviously now some of it is still being used for good. I'm not saying that it's totally darkness, but in this time, everything will be dark. Every part of the church is gone. By this time, the Jewish people who have been saved and all of their followers, they are not there anymore. There is no source of light upon the earth at all. And you'll notice this. It says, they did not repent. They refused to repent. Even with all of this stuff going on, they refused to repent. And I told you this last week. What happened is we are training people to look to the government to meet our needs. If there is a hurricane, who do we pray to? The government. Who do we expect to do something about it? The government. If there's a tornado, it's the government. And you know, and sometimes you just wonder, you know, how far is that going to go? You understand? And since that has already been the thing done, by the time of this time that we're talking about where everything is just totally destroyed, they're still thinking if the government needs to do something about it. And they're not going to repent to God. Now sometimes I've asked and I guess chided sometimes because I don't believe that people who hear the gospel today and are in church Sunday after Sunday after Sunday and hear the gospel and don't get saved and don't get saved and don't get saved, when the rapture happens, I don't believe they're going to be saved. I believe there are going to be Jews that will be converted. I believe there will be others who have not heard the gospel that will be. But I believe this because I don't think God wants to save them. I just don't think He wants to save them. And I've often shared the verse in Thessalonians where God sends a spirit of deception so they will not be saved. That's enough for me. But I believe that God, I really do believe this. I don't believe that God will save anyone who does not want to be saved. I just don't think He will do it. I don't think God is going to come down here, if you're not saved, Butch McLaughlin, and grab you and shake you and say, yes, you are going to get saved. I don't believe He's going to do that. And I believe that during this time that we're talking about, nobody wants to be saved. And have you seen anyone in this whole study outside of the 144,000 that wanted to be saved? Over and over and over again, they refused to repent. They refused to repent. They refused to repent. And I believe that the Bible teaches that during this period, people won't want to be saved any more than Satan and his demons want to be saved. They don't want to be saved. Because over and over, the Bible has told us that during the tribulation, people refuse to repent. And folks, write this down. Repentance is a part of salvation. Now, obviously, I don't think that there will ever be a point in this life, in these bodies, where we will be to the point where we don't sin. But I obviously believe this, we need to be willing to repent and turn from our sins, okay? And somebody said, well, how often do you repent? And I believe every time you sin, you just repent, you know? And these people, over and over again, don't repent. Now I'm going to tell you this because we're going to go back to Egypt. Okay, I brought that thing up about Egypt, that plague being very similar to the one in Egypt, because it's very, and I think there's a reason for that. And because if you think about this, in spite of all of the miracles that Pharaoh saw, he refused to repent. He refused to repent. Why? Well, we can go back. There's. I'll just kind of read you some verses. Exodus 8:15, Pharaoh saw there was relief, and he hardened his heart, and he didn't listen. So why didn't he repent? He hardened his heart. 8:32, and Pharaoh hardened his heart at this time, and neither would he let the people go. Okay, well, Pharaoh didn't repent here, did he? Why? He hardened his heart. And Exodus 9:7, Pharaoh sinned, and behold, there was not one of the cattle of the Israelites dead, and the heart of Pharaoh was hardened, and he didn't let the people go. And you just see this every time. The Pharaoh's hardening his heart. He's hardening his heart. He's hardening his heart. And then finally, in Exodus 10:1, and Jehovah said to Moses, go into Pharaoh, for I have hardened his heart. Before, Pharaoh's hardening his own heart. Then God says, I have hardened his heart. And folks, understand that the time frame, again, I keep coming back to this, guys, when the rapture happens, there's 7 years until the Lord comes back. This great tribulation is a 7-year period. Rapture, 7 years, the Lord coming back. And so you're not talking about a long length of time. We're talking about somebody that's 7 years old, and when the rapture happens, if they don't go, the Lord's coming back when they're 14, if they're still alive. Short, short period of time. But here's what happened here. Pharaoh kept hardening his heart and hardening his heart and hardening his heart, and finally it was too late, and God hardened his heart. And this is what's going to happen. There are people alive, I believe, right now, hardening their hearts. Sunday after Sunday, they sit in church and they hear the gospel and they say, well, I need to get saved, but I'll just put it off. I got plenty of time. I'll wait. And they harden their heart. There are people in the cities and they have somebody tell them about Jesus and they say, well, I don't want to give up my fun, so I'm going to harden my heart. There are people that listen to missionaries and they say, well, I don't, you know, I'm afraid I'll get arrested, so I'm going to harden my heart. All over the world, there are people hearing the gospel and hardening their hearts. And what's going to happen during this time is God's going to say, just like he did to Pharaoh, you had your opportunity. Now I'm hardening your heart. I'm sending this delusion. And, you know, if you go and look, what about the tribulation, verse 9? And the men were scorched with fierce heat, and they blasphemed the name of God who has the power over those plagues, and they did not repent. And then verse 11. And they blasphemed the God of heaven because of their pains and sores, and they did not repent. And we have seen this, guys, all the way through as we've studied this. They blasphemed the name of the Lord, and they did not repent. It's interesting to think, and it's sad. 1 Thessalonians, I'm studying this right now in my study, chapter 2, verse 9, at home in the mornings. It says, the man of sin will come with power of Satan, and he will use every kind of power, including miraculous and wonderful signs, but they will be lies. He will use everything that God disapproves of to deceive those who are dying, that we're reading about here. Those who refuse to love the truth that would save them. That's why God will send a powerful delusion so that they will believe a lie. Then everyone who did not believe the truth but was delighted with what God disapproves of will be condemned. And I'm just going to be honest with you. They, you know, Satan is going to come, and that's what this is talking about. And he's going to have these powers to do fake miracles and fool everybody and all of that. And they are going to be, and God's going to allow these people to be fooled. And understand this, we're not talking about people who had not heard the gospel. We're not talking about that. We're talking about people who knew about God, who knew about Jesus, who have heard the gospel and hardened their hearts and said no. And God is going to say, just like he did with the life of Pharaoh, it's too late. I'm going to send a delusion on you. And that's why, I mean, we think about it. Come on, guys. If all of this was coming on, wouldn't you have given up on the government before now? I mean, let's face it. A lot of us pretty much given up on them now. But can you imagine all of this? And you think, how foolish can they be to not, to believe, keep believing in this government? Because they're deceived. They have a spirit of deception. Instead of hardening their heart, God sends a delusion so that they're going to believe. Why is that? Because they don't want to believe anyway. It's an old story, old same old thing. Why doesn't Satan get saved? He don't want to get saved. He doesn't want to get saved. He just doesn't want to be saved. And the demons don't want to be saved. They want to be God. There's only one God, and you can't be Him. And that's the problem with all these people all over the place that don't get saved, Lovey. They want to be God. They want to be in charge. They want to be God. You can't be saved if you want to be God. You just can't do it because there's only one God. They don't want to believe, and all of this seems pretty bad. But it's not over yet. You would think, you know, as we've studied this and just seen the devastation and, you know, probably, you know, 80 to 90% of the world population being gone, dead, and the ones who are alive suffering unimaginably, and you think it can't get any worse. Yeah, it can. God's still pouring out judgment. It's not over yet. There's two bowls left. So this all's kind of depressing, isn't it? But it doesn't have to be. There are people who are alive today that more than likely will be going through this. And we need to tell them about Jesus. Anybody got the tablet?